To us, Adelaide's 88.7 Coast FM.
This is Adelaide's 88.7 Coast FM.
And the time is 11 minutes past 11, and you're with Dave Hearn and Bruce Hartley on Thursday Coast Magazine. The Hospital Research Foundation, who do magnificent work in supporting many researcher programs and many other areas as well, have this special segment which I look forward to each month. And this month, we've got a Dr. Yoko Tamita in. Yoko is a medical oncologist, which immediately gets my interest up very much so, because oncologists in the time of the concerns I went through, Bruce, did magnificent work in supporting my beloved wife. But she's currently conducting research within the solid tumour group, which is going to be all very interesting to find out about that at the Basil Hetzel Institute for Translational Health Research. Doctor, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Welcome to Coast FM. Tell us a bit about yourself, where you're originally from, and as a young person, what were your interests, what did you do, all these sort of things.
Sure. So, as my name suggests, I was born in Japan and I grew up as a Japanese till my mid-teens. Then my parents decided to get me educated in English environment, and hence they sent me overseas to Australia.
Wow.
And that's probably where I started, really.
A lot of your young childhood, fantastic memories back there, then to be sent to Australia. How tough was that?
Obviously, the language was a major barrier when I started being a high school student here, but hopefully I have overcome most of it.
I think you're doing very well. I can say that to you already. Let's go back to when you're in Japan. What were your main interests? Why did you, from a very young age, want to get into doing research work or oncology work? How did this all come about?
I probably didn't have medical oncology in my mind, but having a mother who was a medical scientist, the science was something that I grew up with, and I was always interested, and I knew that I was always going to be in this research or some degree of health science field.
That's interesting, because it's not usually the case in many times, because even though parents are involved in a certain area, a lot of young people say, nah, I don't want to do that. I got a very basic example where I was a police officer in South Australia, as Bruce was, and I said to my son and daughter, how about becoming cops? And I won't tell you what they said, but it wasn't very pleasant. But seriously, they didn't want to. But you didn't mind that.
No, I didn't. In fact, she probably taught me how interesting it could be to try and solve a scientific problem, especially relating to human health disease.
So you flew over here by yourself?
I did, yeah.
And straight to Adelaide?
No, I got educated in New South Wales.
Okay.
For majority of my high school and university.
So you've arrived. What age were you?
I think I was about 17 when I came here.
So you've come here by yourself. Is there any structures in place for a person like yourself when you come here? I mean, is there any immediate contacts, or is it like, you're here, good luck, you find what you need to know?
So there are agencies who provide support to families who want to send their children to overseas, and they often have contacts with local schools.
What was it like to go to a local school where it was all English?
It was just different.
Yeah,
culturally
it
different,
was.
Linguistically different.
Yeah.
And you learn to develop your own network.
Yeah. Were a lot of your network people from Japan, Japanese students, or did you throw yourself into the mix straight away with the Australian students?
I was in fact sent to a very rural boarding school in New South Wales, so
I
didn't have many Japanese students in my school.
Which school did you go to?
I was in Armidale.
Oh, you did go straight out, didn't you? That's a lovely town.
It is.
Was it? Did you live in a country town in Japan?
No, my parents live in Tokyo, and that's where I spend most of my childhood.
What was that like, going straight out to a country? Yeah, this is quite fascinating. I find this quite amazing.
I didn't mind at all. In fact, even when I was back in Japan, I did like activities in the countryside and in the nature. So it was a great experience being having access to rainforests and,
Fantastic. Well, on top of your actual learning to speak Australian and everything like that, what did you do in the country town? Did you get yourself involved in many local activities?
I probably should have done more horse riding, to be honest.
You love horse riding.
Yeah. But that's something I didn't really get involved. But I did spend a lot of time in the nature, walking in the forest.
You formed really lovely friends there?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Mm.
Did you stay with a family or did you...
So I stayed at boarding school, and for the summer breaks and other small breaks, I tend to go back to the same host family.
Did you get home much?
Once a year I used to go home.
Mum and Dad come over?
At the graduation, I remember, they came. That was the first time they came to Australia.
What do they think?
I think they liked the environment,
So you've then decided to finish your studies or at high school or university?
And then I went to medical school at New South Wales.
Okay. Yep. What were your aims at that point of time? Was it to really set yourself for this very important role of being an oncologist?
The reason I wanted to do medicine was obviously I liked science and I wanted to do human science, but I needed some human interaction. My impression of being a scientist was sitting in front of a sample rather than human, and that's why I decided to go to medical school rather than doing scientific degree.
Which is important, isn't it? You've got to get the feel of the real world, I suppose. When you're doing these sort of studies. So how long were you in medical school for?
So I did 6 years of medical school, and following that I did several training, obviously, to become a medical oncologist.
Okay. So you went out to different hospitals?
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of the hospitals you went to?
I travelled around I spent some time at St. George Hospital in Sydney, followed by two major hospitals in Perth, Western Australia, for the purpose of
travel.
Medical oncology training. Yeah. And for the last, I think, 5 years, I've been affiliated with the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
Okay. With there's obviously different sorts of oncologist work. I know with my wife with cancer and the oncology, that the great support I got there. Have you dealt with that side of things?
Yes. So as a medical oncologist and also as a medical oncology trainee, obviously my primary role was to treat the patients with the cancer conditions.
You must be a special person to do that, because that wouldn't be easy.
It's not easy, but it can be reasonably rewarding.
It can be rewards, because a lot of people that suffer with this, Bruce, do have immense strength to be able to, once they know what they're facing, to be able to, to fight against it. That must have encouraged you as well.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, because I think it's most important. So we weren't going to sit quiet, were we? We decided to get back into research. Tell us how that all came about.
So, obviously, being in the medical oncology, we end the use of science. So we're given drug with the data, and we'll prescribe that to patients with specific conditions. But I was curious how the drugs was developed, and I wanted to see how it's done myself, and that's why I decided to take up a PhD.
This actual research you do, is it full-time or certain days of a week?
So I've been doing full-time, yes.
Yeah. Have you found that? Is it a nice breakaway into a new challenge?
I still continue some clinical practice, so it's been a very good balance for me to have my time just in the laboratory or writing up, being away from patients. Once a week I'll go back and do some clinical work.
Okay, fantastic. So I find this extremely interesting, Bruce. The solid tumour group. Can you explain what that meant?
So as a group, we investigate science around the solid tumours. When I say solid tumours, it generally refers to cancers of major body organs such as lung or chest, bowel, prostate, breast. The only thing we don't tend to deal with is hematological blood cancers.
Okay. So Well, my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and she's since had a mastectomy 10 years ago, and we've been going through the initial drama, or you know, yep. of finding out what's going on and that sort of stuff. And we had some very good people. We had a very good oncologist and a very good surgeon who, on the initial meeting, didn't seem to have a personality. But when we got into it, and I think that was really good, because these, like yourself, he would see patients every day suffering what could be a terminal illness. How do you cope with that in terms of your own personality? Do you think that's, you know, do you think there's a jovial or a happy side to it, or are you continually having these people come in that you realise that this is like a serious illness, and what can I do to help?
It really comes down to the person. I mean, the medical practitioners. Mm. All of us has different personalities and has a different approach to patients, and the same from patients' perspective. So some patients prefer to be told the fact in a reasonably flat manner,
yes.
whereas other people need a bit more emotional support in addition to that.
Yep. Yep. And do you find that emotional support draining for yourself?
I personally don't. In fact, I love getting to know my patients, and then that's one of the reasons I chose medical oncology.
Mm. Yep.
Yep. You're passionate, aren't you?
Yep. I can see that.
I think that stands out very clearly straight away. The Hospital Research Foundation have been a great support to you.
So I haven't been personally receiving any scholarship from the Hospital Research Foundation, but my group certainly has been giving a lot of support from the Research Foundation.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it? I mean, I've had the honour of speaking to many people associated with research, and the common word that comes back is, we want to do research, but we've got to have the money to do it. And this is what I love about the Hospital Research Foundation, because they support so many people or groups or whatever in this fight against these awful diseases that are around us.
Yeah, it certainly requires a lot of people's involvement and effort to make research happen.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this research now?
So this particular PhD project, I'm coming to the end of my third year.
So 4 years, is it?
3 years.
3 years, yep. Okay. So once that's finished, what does the doctor do then?
So my aim is to go back to a bit more clinical work. So obviously for the last 3 years, I spent majority of my time in the laboratory setting, but I like to go back to the clinical setting and really try to apply some of the knowledges and skills that I learned through my PhD candidature in the clinical work.
Gives you a lot of a really lovely feeling when you see a person like yourself who's so passionate and desirous to develop even further the wonderful knowledge you already have. And I mean that very sincerely, because I guess the question I want to ask, we wouldn't lose you here from Adelaide, will we?
No, I'm intending to stay.
Thank heavens for that. Yeah. What about taking all these wonderful skills you have back to Japan? Has that ever entered your mind?
When I was very young, especially following graduating university, I did look into the possibility of returning to Japan, but the requirement to be practicing as a medical practitioner is quite different from what I have gained here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, was it more difficult without going into a lot of detail? Was
obviously,
it?
I have to pass the medical exam in Japanese.
Yeah, well, I suppose so. That's the basic line. But I guess at the end of the day, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. That's for sure. Working with the team that you are, and you've been doing it for 3 years, tell us a bit about them.
So our group... So solid tumour group is a reasonably big group, and it actually has several groups within it. And the particular subgroup that I've been working with is called Molecular Oncology Group. And at the moment, we'll be primarily investigating several compounds or chemicals as a cancer therapy for bowel and breast cancers.
Mm. Can I ask a question? If you can't answer it, please just say you haven't got an answer. But again, it's something that's very personal to me. My wife was fit and well, healthy, and then did the normal ladies test. Blood wasn't right, and within 3 weeks we were told she had cervical cancer and couldn't be cured. Now, there wasn't a sniff of a warning with this. I guess she's been gone now for nearly 2.5 years, but I want to give back, and this is one way I can give back, because I know the wonderful work that was done to help her, not only at Calvary Hospital, but Mary Potter, and I love the work the Hospital Research Foundation do. But it appears to me this cervical cancer, it just comes from nowhere. It's obviously in the as part of the system, but it can raise its head out of the blue.
So we have a national cervical cancer screening program where usually females are recommended to have it biannual checks, but I'm not sure whether what proportion the community people are actually aware of that and stick with that recommendation.
Is this the normal, without going to the ladies' test, you can have every 2 years? Is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what my wife did, and every test was fine except this one.
Yep.
And I don't get that. How everything can be fine, and then this one test 3 weeks later. That's where it works, yeah. Obviously.
So unfortunately, some cancers can be quite aggressive. And
that's what it was.
My assumption is that within that 2 years interval of cervical screening, she developed a new cancer.
Mm. Yeah. I just pray that the great work people like yourself do will come up with something one day when people are diagnosed like that, that they can get the real help to maybe not cure them, to maybe give their life a longer span than what she had. It's a challenging role.
It is, but yeah, that's certainly my hope.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you do. So, the field of cancer research, where do you think it's headed?
Obviously, with ongoing advancement in technology, our knowledge of cancers and how to treat cancer is improving, and I think it will continue to improve, but what may become potentially a problem is the cost associated with the management of cancers, and we really need to spend a bit more time and be wise about how to use our knowledge in treating patients.
Can I ask you just one question? If you don't want to answer, I fully understand. I talk to various researchers, and they come from different areas. Yeah. I'm very fortunate that I've been heavily involved with Basil Hetzel, which is great. But it seems like to me that, unfortunately, to get monies, it's a competition between researchers to be able to get money to do the wonderful work they do. And if your work doesn't get publicised, it's even harder. It's a pretty tough world out there.
It is. It is a very competitive world. Yeah. Mm. But hopefully that competition is working in a positive way by encouraging people to subspecialise in a certain area of research and then be expert in that.
That's a great answer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that, medically we've been able to solve a lot of things, but the cancer is the one thing that seems to be that issue that we don't really know enough about it, you know, and because it strikes different people at different ages in different locations, that it's curious. But I'm of the understanding that, you know, genetically there is something there that happens. And it gets triggered off at some stage by something. We don't know whether it's food, we don't know whether it's stress, we don't know whether it's other things at all, but it seems to trigger off. And I guess that the research into that would be fabulous if we could at some day find, a cure for this problem.
Yep, agree.
Well, you're doing great work.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
And I mean that. It means... to sit here and watch a person that's so passionate about a role, and not just sitting on a particular area, but spreading and getting multi-skilled even more. How good is that?
Well, I think where we need to go is with research, but we need people with passion to do it.
Mm.
You know, to get in there and I'm going to find this and sort it out. And
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's where we were talking about this earlier. We're about passion, weren't we?
Yeah, we certainly were. That's the theme for today, that's for sure. Sarah from Hospital Research Foundation, how are you?
I'm well, Well, thank you.
Have I got your mic on? No, you have now. How are you, Sarah?
I'm well,
you
thank well? You.
That's good. What's been happening and the wonderful work that you guys do down there?
Well, you may have seen we've released some new ads, and so what we're doing is we are calling on all South Australians to together fight, because there are so many enemies and diseases out there, so things like cancer and heart disease and stroke and dementia, and we are taking on all of them and we want to fight these diseases, but we need South Australia's help to do that.
So what initiatives have you got in mind, Sarah, at this stage?
Well, we will continue to support all of our researchers and doctors and
Fantastic.
Medical professionals
yeah.
and the health networks yeah. And hospitals across South Australia.
And the big thing is that you run this home lottery on a regular basis, and the reply to that is outstanding.
It is.
And you support people that come down from the country with accommodation
yes.
and many other areas. And that's why I love being associated with this wonderful foundation. They do such brilliant work. And when you have people like... the doctor come in and talk about it. This is what it's all about, and I'm closely associated with the group down there, and it's always great to have them on board. So look out for those ads, hey, Sarah?
Yes, keep an eye out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in. It's been great to have you on board, and continue your great work, won't you? And thanks, Sarah, as well.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing your name with some big award for discovering something.
Thanks very much.
I really hope it happens. 28 minutes to 12 here at 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.